Better late than never.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Maybe we'll finally get some accountability for this $700 billion bailout. Two senators plan to introduce a bill requiring the banks to tell the government how they're spending the money. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
Democrat Dianne Feinstein of California and Republican Olympia Snowe of Maine say they'll introduce the legislation when Congress convenes January 6th. The senator's bill would require recipients of federal bailout money to submit quarterly reports to the Treasury Department on how they're spending it. The measure would prohibit them from using the money for lobbying or political contributions. It would establish corporate governance standards to be sure the money isn't wasted. Firms that violated those standards would be fined $100,000. The legislation was first introduced the week before Thanksgiving, but the Senate didn't take it up. Earlier this week, the Associated Press said it contacted 21 banks that already received bailout cash, asking how it had been spent. None of them would give an exact answer. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
I have it on good authority that Santa Claus is going to skip Wall Street when he makes his run tonight. He knows. So, sorry, no Santa rally this year. The markets close at 1 Eastern. The Dow lost another 100 yesterday to 84.19. The NASDAQ and the S&P were both down close to a percent. Stocks close mostly lower in Asia today, and they're down in Europe so far. Most prices are falling in this economy, except this one, the price of cocoa. We're joined by our man in London, Stephen Beard. Stephen, how expensive is it?
It's at its highest in London for 23 years. My favorite quote of the morning, cocoa is on fire, says one analyst. There hasn't been this much excitement in the London cocoa market, Scott, for quite a few years since somebody actually tried to corner the cocoa market a few years ago, somebody who was inevitably dubbed Chock Finger by the press. So it's looking very buoyant, not to say frothy here in London.
Okay, so why is it going up?
Part of it is to do with the fact that there's a huge market in London and cocoa is priced unusually here in London, not in US dollars, but in British pounds, and the British pound is weak. But beyond that, the bigger story is supply and demand. Supplies are pretty tight. Cocoa production in Africa has been falling. Heavy rainfall, apparently, in West Africa has cut output. There's been an increased incidence of the dreaded black pod disease. And, of course, there's been concern, too, about political unrest and upheaval in West Africa, which has raised fears about future supply.
And what about the demand for cocoa?
Well, this is interesting, too. Demand is holding up, unlike many other commodities in a downturn. And it comes down to this whole point about comfort food. People need their steaming hot mug of cocoa at bedtime, or they need their chocolate bars to keep their spirits up throughout the misery of the recession.
All right. Stephen Beard in London. Thank you.
Okay, Scott.
If you bought a giant $100 snow globe from Hallmark for Christmas, take it back. Seriously. Hallmark has recalled 7,000 jumbo snow globes because they could set your house on fire. In two cases, these things were sitting in the sun and acted as a magnifying glass. Fortunately, no one got hurt.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Paramount Pictures, presenting The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, starring Brad Pitt and Cate Blanchett, directed by David Fincher, in theaters Christmas Day. And by Gather.com. If it's happening in the world, it's being discussed on Gather. People are talking about the economy at Gather.com.
Taxpayers expect some changes in the business world after all this economic fallout. But if you listen closely to company executives, they might not want that. Commentator Robert Reich believes a giant conflict of interest is brewing.
The public believes the bailouts of Wall Street and the Big Three will permanently change these industries, but I doubt that's what industry insiders want. Goldman Sachs CEO Lloyd Blankfein, for example, said recently the firm's business strategy doesn't need to change. What? Goldman got $10 billion of taxpayer money precisely because it and other big banks were so over-leveraged they threatened the whole financial system. I can understand why Blankfein doesn't want to change. He took home $54 million last year. But the public expects real reform for its $10 billion at Goldman and tens of billions more in other banks. The big three have agreed to become far more fuel efficient as a condition for their bailout, but they promised this before, during the oil crisis of the 1970s. They never delivered then because their biggest profits were in gas guzzlers that consumers wanted to buy as soon as the first oil crisis was over. Will history repeat itself? Now that gas prices are half what they were 6 months ago, consumers who can afford it are suddenly less interested in fuel efficiency. They're buying fewer hybrids and showing renewed interest in SUVs. So why should we think Detroit will revolutionize itself? Now, I'm not so cynical as to accuse anyone of bad faith. It's just that both Wall Street and Detroit earned big bucks from their old strategies before the bottom fell out of the economy. So it's natural to think they'd view the bailouts as ways to hold on until the economy rebounds. They see their problem as cyclical, not structural. But the bailouts have been sold to the public as means toward fundamental change in finance and autos. This means if the bailouts are to do what they're supposed to do, stop Wall Street from wild risk-taking with piles of borrowed money, and push the auto industry into making fundamentally new products, Washington will not only have to set strict standards, but watch over these industries even when the recession is over.
Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. His most recent book is called Super Capitalism. You can share your opinion with us and find much more coverage of the economic fallout online at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in. And from all of us at Marketplace, happy holidays.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.